Hey, everybody, welcome to Polymer Clay Podcast. This is episode 9, and today we have a special guest. So I'm Kira.
I'm Elisa.
And I'm Sherry Thompson.
Welcome Sherry.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
So Sherry is one of our teachers at PCA, or Polymer Clay Adventure, this year in 2020. And we just wanted to let you have a chance to get to know her a little better, because outside of the class situation. So Sherry, tell us a little bit about your class and the inspiration for it.
Well, my class is a Bohemian flower cane, and I love caning. It's wonderful. I love, because you get, sometimes for a lot of work, you get a lot of result. So you can put in a couple hours or even a couple days, but then you have a lot of material to work with. And I kind of wanted this cane to feel accessible and like achievable, because some people can be real intimidated by caning, I think. And kind of if they follow something and it doesn't come out quite how they want it to and not perfect, then they kind of feel defeated. And I wanted this to feel almost a little rough, a little kind of shabby chic, just so that it felt attainable. You weren't achieving that perfection. You were just going for something that was, you know, beautiful and kind of fun, and just like I said, achievable was my goal, my main goal.
I'm looking forward to seeing what the students do with it, because, you know, in PCA we have had three class releases so far, and there are hundreds of pictures and everybody does something different. So
I'm a caner from back way back when too. So I'm looking forward to your class too. So this will be one I'll probably step in on, even though I don't have a whole lot of time. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, I know what you're saying, because some canes are very, very structured, which scares people, because they think, right, if I don't get the line just so, my whole thing's going to go kaput. So with the flower, and you can kind of let, like kind of like Denise's poppies, and she expressed this as well, that you can kind of evict movement, and so that's one of the fun things about it.
Yeah, I like it that you'll be able to absolutely customize it, you know, obviously change whatever colors and add little bits and change the shape of the leaves, and oh, there's so much you can do with it. I mean, really, I'm very excited to see what people do with it. Very excited.
Yeah, you do.
So what's your favorite thing to do with cane slices once you've made a cane?
I love to make jewelry. I really like to make jewelry. And of course, covering boxes is fun. And yeah, I mean, jewelry is probably my favorite, I would say, to do with the canes. And like candle holders are really pretty, especially when you get a nice translucence through it. I did make a candle holder with the cane that I made for the class, and it just looks so pretty with, you know, it lit through there. But I think above all, and like window hangers, like if you take, I'll take a big slice before I reduce it all the way down. And I love making little, you know, window hangers. They make great gifts. Mm-hmm. Just something small and pretty, and people are just fascinated. I try to explain when I go to art shows and stuff, they want to know how I made them. Oh, is this painted? And you try to explain how caning's done, and they just can't, you know, grasp the concept that it's a three-dimensional, you know, and every piece is different. And I love that kind of mystery aspect of a cane, because, you know, unless you do it, you kind of baffling how it was made, you know, and that's fun for me. I like that.
Yeah. I dealt with that too, because I did art shows for over 10 years and people just couldn't get it. So what I started doing is I started taking a piece of cane with me and showing them, if I cut right into it, and I did that, you can see that the pattern goes all the way through. So you have to build it in a certain way, so it becomes a long tube. You know, even right. So you could explain it till the day you die. And if they don't do it, it's going to be hard for them to get.
Absolutely.
I know what you're saying.
Yeah, I did that at my last show. We do a big art show in December, a really popular one. And I did bring a piece of cane this time, because I got so many questions last year and it still just wasn't clicking, you know, but I thought maybe if I get motivated enough, I could do a little video type of thing where just you could kind of streamline the process in a quicker fashion and put it on one of the like electric photo frames. Mm-hmm. And I thought I could kind of put that by some of the things. So just so you could get a visual, because it's kind of hard to do that for me at shows to actually cane or anything. I know some artists make the pieces while they're there, but that would have been impossible at the last one. We were so busy, thankfully, but it's just, I would have never been able to demonstrate anything, you know, so unless I had extra help, but yeah, it's really hard to explain if you don't know what it is.
Yeah. What actually brought you to polymer clay? How did you discover it and where did you start?
Actually, I bought, for Christmas, I very, very lightly knew what like FEMA was. I had bought a couple containers years and years ago, but it never really, I never played with it. I never really understood what it was. But I had bought my daughter a couple years ago for Christmas, a Sculpey, or I bought her a Primo like trial set, like a gift, like a sample set. And she wanted me to sit down with her one day and I made a little gnome. And I was just like, I'm in love with this stuff. It was so much fun. And then it just took off. The next thing I made was a super detailed sculpture on a rock with a little house and a tree. And just, I went crazy. I loved it. It was just, it made my mind go. And it's just a constant source of inspiration for me. I have tried so many different mediums and I beaded for years, made beaded jewelry, but I was working with other people's elements. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't, even though the ideas for the forms and the shapes and everything were coming from my brain, I still was working with other people's pieces. So polymer allows me to just, whatever pops into my brain, that's what I can make. My brain is the limitation, basically. So I love the variability, just the possibilities are just absolutely amazing. And that it just hooked its claws in deeper than anything else I have tried in the art world. And it hasn't let go. And I'm so thankful because it's just was the thing I was searching for. And it found me and I found it. And now we're best friends.
Sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I discovered it about 30 years ago and I haven't stopped. There is something to learn every single day from polymer clay. And that's what we stress also in the polymer clay adventure, is that watch every single class because there's something to learn from everyone. Even if you're not interested in making a cane, you can learn how to manipulate the clay in different ways. There are just so many tips and tricks along the way that you can learn. So we always say to everybody, you know, if it's not your thing, don't worry about it. You don't have to make it. Just watch it because I guarantee you'll learn something.
Yeah, absolutely. There's always something to learn from every artist, every teacher, everything. It's amazing. And people are so generous in the polymer community. I find it's just such an amazing community, how everyone is so willing to share ideas and techniques and just, it's fabulous. I haven't met any nasty people. It's been wonderful. It's really, it's just such a, it's an awesome group of artists and creators. It's just great.
Cool. So what will people learn from you in PCA and what tips do you have for the general polymer clay artist?
Well, hopefully, like I said, to just don't be intimidated by the cane. I'm tried to make it as easy as possible. I tried to make it as clear as possible. Hopefully that it'll spark some new ideas and different ways to construct a flower, not the typical, you know, circle flower. You know, it kind of gives you, you know, freedom to experiment with petal shapes and colors and different inclusions you can put in there. So I'm hoping people just run with it. I'm just really excited to see what they do with it.
Cool.
Yeah, we are too.
Yeah. So Sherry's class comes out on February 28th, but of course, if you join Polymer Clay Adventure at any time during the year, you can have all of the classes that as they come out throughout the year, and then you can download them to keep them forever. So it's really a fun way to share. And then of course, we have a Facebook group where it's private and you can safely share what you're making and get encouragement and see what everybody else does. So
You can ask questions to the teachers too. Mm-hmm. So if you have any questions while you're taking the class and you're not sure, you can pop right in there and ask Sherry. and
yeah, that's a wonderful group. It's great to see everybody's work in real time and be able to help in real time, and just it's a wonderful interactive group. I mean, just everything about PCA is wonderful. I mean, it's inclusive and attainable and easy and fun, and it's inspiring. It's great. I highly recommend it.
Thank you.
We try to create that safe and encouraging and learning environment there. So thank you. Right. That's
I see it. I will see a lot of newbie artists that pop in on various pages and are like, oh, I'm scared to start. I don't know what to do. I see all these amazing artworks, and you just start. The clay will tell you what it wants to be most of the time. Like a lot of times I sit down and I don't even know what I'm going to make. I grab a piece of clay and it tells me what it wants to be. You just got to start. Don't be intimidated. And sometimes researching so much can actually hinder you because you're seeing all this, just it's information overload and it's can actually halter your work. One of my best things is to go for a walk in the woods. Right now it's kind of hard because where I live, we have roughly 250 inches of snow. You can walk with snowshoes, but that's not always the easiest thing to do. I'm inspired by, you know, leaves and mushrooms. Mushrooms are one of my biggest, I love mushrooms and fungus and stuff, but just getting your head clear and finding a place that inspires you is one of the best things. Like Pinterest is great for a little bit of time. I go on there very, I haven't even been on there in the longest time because it can be hindering. You just get so many ideas, you don't know what to do with it. But yeah, for newbies, just start somewhere. We all have to start somewhere.
Yeah. And there's nothing like, we feel like whether you like to make jewelry or fairy doors or sculpture or whatever, there's no bad place to start, because whatever you do, you're going to learn something.
Absolutely. Just start. Yeah. Don't be afraid. And that's a great tip. I mean, we often say that because we do find that a lot of artists are just so afraid and intimidated because they see all this other stuff that's been posted. But you know what? Everybody has to start somewhere. So absolutely. Wherever it is for you, I mean, you're only going to get better if you keep at it, you know?
Absolutely. And those artists started somewhere too. I'm sure their first pieces, they looked at them and they were like, what did I do? You know, some people pick it up and are just amazing right away. But even then they grow and get better, but you won't make anything if you don't pick up the clay. It's just right. It's as simple as that.
That's an awesome, wonderful tip. Thank you. All right. Well, we thank you for sitting down and joining us and talking a little bit about your thoughts. So we will see everybody inside of PCA. And if you're not a member, you can come along and join us. Check it out at the links.
Thanks, Sherry.
Join us. Thank you for having us. And it's nice to finally get to talk to you in person, sort of.
Me too.